Welcome to the most listened to golf in the world, the Fairways of Life show, on air, online, and around the world. With the most candid interviews, unforgettable stories, taking you beyond the ropes. Here's your host, New York Times best-selling author and Golf Channel's Matt Adams.
Pleasure to welcome you into the Fairways of Life show from wherever you are joining us. We're looking back at what was the first signature event for the PGA Tour in 2024. Now, remember, these signature events have been set up to be distinctive, both in FedEx Cup points and the purse that they will award, all of which we'll go through with you today. It was also distinctive because, for one thing, it was back in Maui after devastating fires that they had undergone. And I thought that the way that the tour handled it, I thought that the way that NBC handled it was more of a celebration of the beauty of Maui. And I'm not saying it's not always that, but it was this ability to celebrate the beauty and resilience of Maui, and along the way, hopefully help the people of Maui that are trying to rebuild get a little bit farther along in their objectives and know that the world is out there caring for them and with them in this very, very beautiful place. It was a very beautiful performance for many, not the least of which was Chris Kirk. He last year, who won the Courage Award on the PGA Tour. What a performance it was. It was a career performance for him in birdies made, and that's pretty much the way it went down, because this golf course plays very much like, if you will, an inland links course, which means it's not a links course. Don't get me wrong. It's not based upon centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries of sand. However, because it is on an island, it is subject to, at times, massive winds. Only that wasn't the case at this year's century. So the scoring went very, very low. It was almost like, as the cliche goes, that the players were playing inside of a bubble. So Chris Kirk spoke to the media afterwards. He addressed a number of different questions, the last of which I thought was interesting. Just heard me mention that he won the Courage Award. And one of the journalists asked him in this last piece that we put together is, are you okay with always being referred to as the guy who stepped away to get sober?
I had it for a long time and then lost it. I lost the joy of most things in life for a while there. But yeah, it's certainly back. I just love, I think I just love how hard this is. Like, it's so hard to be great at this. And I love the process that it takes. I love the work that it takes to try to be the best version of myself, I definitely have fallen back in love with that process, and sometimes you get rewarded for it, like today, and sometimes you don't, and that's just part of the deal. So I think to be successful and to really enjoy your life as a PGA Tour player, you've got to love the work. I probably don't look very happy, but that's kind of by design. I sort of feel like, even on the last hole, when all I needed to make par to win, I just was like, I wasn't willing to break character, if you will. I want to play where I don't show or any emotion. I'm certainly feeling it, obviously, but I've just kind of found over the years that's how I play my best. If I just, I'm truly just trying to go step by step, shot by shot, just little by little, and because in my mind, the results are not, you add it up at the end, but yeah, it's something you have no control over. You only have control over, like, right now. And so I try to spend as much time as I can during the day of just, kind of zeroed in on what's next. I think I just love playing golf in Hawaii. I've had a lot of really great weeks at the Sony Open. I haven't quite managed to win that one. And this golf course is one that I love. It's so fun to play. It's just so unique, so different from everywhere else that we play. I mean, some of the crazy lies that you're hitting off of, and you hit one drive that goes 240 and the next one might go 450. It's just really kind of brings out the creativity in what we're doing. And it's just a lot of fun. But certainly, you know, I mean, I've, like I said, I've worked hard on my game and a lot of things, but this was very, very unexpected to come off of that break where, you know, I spent a lot of time in the gym and I spent a lot of time working on my mental game, but I didn't actually play a whole lot of golf and didn't practice that much. So to come over here and to play as well as I did is, you know, I'm very thankful and a little bit surprised. Yeah, I hope it stays with me forever. It's you know, it's a huge part of my life still now, and you know, definitely the best thing that I've ever done in my life is to get sober. So I understand what you're saying, that, you know, but I don't feel like it's taking away from anything that I'm accomplishing. It's, you know, it's 100% the reason why I'm able to do what I do. You know, I've said that a lot, but there would be, my PGA Tour career would have been over a while ago had I not gotten sober. So, yeah, I'm fine with that staying with me for till the day I die.
Chris Kirk finishing on 29 under par, and you heard that last answer he was giving about, I hope it always stays with me, which I think is a really healthy perspective for Chris Kirk. I had a chance to talk to him about that some time ago where I said, you know, this is your life's path, right? And I know you're very happy with where you are and what you're doing and the way it positively impacts every part of your life, family life, et cetera. But do you realize that you also become a source of inspiration for other people that are dealing with whatever they're dealing with in their lives too? And he was willing to acknowledge that and to embrace that. And so from that perspective, to me, I think it's really encouraging for Chris to say, yeah, I hope that always stays with me, that part of who his identity is now. So 29 under par, his stats were impressive. I'll get to them in just a second. Finishing in 28 under par, we had both Thigala and Spieth on that mark. There you can see the leaderboard up in front of you. Thigala and 20 under, Spieth, sorry, at 27 under par. Benny on at 26 under par at this first signature event on the PGA Tour. And remember, this first signature event, and I'll go over these with you in today's program, is going to mirror the FedEx Cup points, because this is the first year in many years in which this event in January officially kicks off the 2024 season. Now, it used to be called the Tournament of Champions. That has expanded, so the field at 59 players was actually the largest that it's ever been in the week that was. Okay, as to what Chris Kirk has accomplished, it is impressive indeed. Chris Kirk with his sixth PGA Tour win. He did it at 38 years, 7 months and change. He was on the 2015 United States President's Cup team. Remember, he had to make an 18-foot putt right at the very end of it, that if he didn't make it, the United States team may well have lost that President's Cup. And he split the hole in two. Three Korn Ferry Tour wins to his credit. As I mentioned, he was the winner of the PGA Tour Courage Award. He was a 2007 Ben Hogan Award recipient. And while I don't think it's going to come as a particular shock to anybody, I still like to take a quick glance at the stats from a player after they have accomplished what they just did, because it's always crazy impressive. He was first in strokes gained around the green. Look at what he gained on the field. And strokes gained, just for those of you that joined us that may not know, it is a measure against the average of the field. He's first in scrambling, 92% roll it. First in total putts, 26.7. That is crazy good. 11th in strokes gained putting overall. He had 30 birdies. Very, very impressive indeed. So too was it impressive what Sahith did at this century. Sahith was asked about how he would assess the day. He was asked about how his emotions were feeling right now coming this close.
It was a great day. Great day. Got off to a really nice start. I just saw my replay on two because they were wondering how the ball got there. It looks like it lipped out top edge pretty much, but got off to a great start, had a bonus putt on three, and never really looked back from there. It was definitely a little bit of a, you know, you knew that guys were going to go low. You knew there was going to be a ton of looks today. It was just so calm. So a little bit of just staying patient on the putts. Missed a few shortish putts on 6 and 7 that, you know, really could have gotten the round off to a super fast start. But I knew there was going to be a ton more looks. So obviously 18 hurts a little bit. But, no, I think Kirk and Chris hit an incredible shot on 17 there. And then, you know, if we were tied or if I was at 29, I think he probably pulls off a birdie there as well. But, yeah, really wish I could have that second shot on 18 back. But it's not how it works. I think thinking back on it, it's really hard to be, you know, sad or upset about having a nice Sunday round, but just the par in the last hole leaves a little bit of a sour taste. And honestly, nothing but positives. And you know, I felt like I was stayed in it till the very end too. I never thought ahead or anything like that. But yeah, it's always tough when you come so close, because again, you don't get a lot of chances. You know, we all work our butts off to have as many chances as possible. So yeah, it is a little emotional, but you know, I've been here before, and I think having one in the bag is something that I'm going to look forward to look back on as something really positive. And I definitely did that today. I was so much calmer than I have been previously, but it's going to take me a day or two to get over it.
Fagala opened the week with a 64. He had a 69 and a 68 wedged in between and finished yesterday with a 63. Jordan Spieth, who hasn't won since the 2022 RBC Canadian, or the RBC Heritage, I beg your pardon, is looking for his 14th victory. He came that close, finishing at 27 under par, rounds of 66, 67, 67, and 65. Here is how Jordan reacted.
I thought that 5 and 6 would really do me in. I thought it'd be really hard from there. You just can't really make a mistake when you get good chances when you're behind and the scores are going to be the way they are. So walking off 6 green, I thought, you know, we got to try to birdie every single hole. But in the back of my mind, I knew it was going to be a really tough challenge. Just had to be totally mistake-free and steal a couple extra because you can't par those two holes today. Yeah, I mean, through 11 green, then I had kind of made it back up. And, I mean, birdied 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So kind of felt like I stole two back, at least two back in that stretch. So I thought walking off 11 green, okay, you know, if I get 4 by 18, you know, I've got a chance at this. And I think I ended up getting maybe 3. I just misread the putt on 18 and really wish that I gave it more of a chance. But if you told me 8 under at the beginning of the day, I would have thought Chris probably better 6 under, but playing with the lead in the last group, maybe, maybe 8 was in a playoff was kind of where my head was at. So there was just some phenomenal golf played everywhere. Yeah, it's been a tough balance. I certainly didn't put anywhere near the time that I had wanted to prior to this event. So in that sense, as far as call it a month ago, I'm a bit surprised at where I'm at right now with my game, which in a good way. Having said that, the beginning of this week was, I was really optimistic off of the way that I was playing just through practice and some of the work I was doing on the greens. And I thought that I started on Thursday morning thinking I do have a chance at winning this golf tournament, but I have not been putting in the time that I'd like to, and I should be able to here over the next few weeks before it starts to get heavy. So it was kind of a one-off tournament. I now have a little break, and I'm really glad to feel like I got a little house money as I go into a heavier part of the season and feel like I'm trending the right direction. So there's nothing but optimism about what the season can bring at this point, regardless of what I'm trying to balance off the course.
Jordan Spieth finishing just a couple of back at the Century. We will be right back after this as the Fairways of Life show rolls on.
Relax. Easy now. Find your happy place. The PGA Tour Superstore. It's all in the hips. Where every swing as possible. Just tap it in. Yes!
Find all the latest gear, apparel, and personalized club fittings.
Is this goodbye?
We've only just begun.
Shop with the pros at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
In Ireland, golf is more than just a game. Come and experience our world-famous Lynx courses and our world-famous Parkland courses, all set alongside world-famous scenery. And visit our world-famous historic sites. And while you're here, enjoy our world-famous hospitality. Fill your heart with Ireland at ireland.com/golf.
It screams. It tracks. It's soft. It reacts. It is the Bridgestone Tour B with a game-changing reactive cover designed to spring faster off your driver and stick longer to your wedges. Try Bridgestone's Tour Bs, the Tour Ball reinvented.
The Gen 6 iron is a culmination of everything that we have learned as a team, the absolute best golf club I've ever hit. It's something special. Say hello to the new PXG Gen 6 iron. The longest, most accurate irons we've ever made. They go higher and farther than any iron that I have hit to date, and they're so easy to hit. Super excited for the consumer to try this. They're gonna love them.
PXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Baseball? Nah. Football? Done it. I think I'm gonna go after the PGA Tour.
Bo, you're gonna need the right equipment company.
I think I got that.
You know, Tour Edge backs all their clubs with a lifetime warranty.
I know.
They ship all their premium custom clubs in 48 hours.
I know.
All their premium clubs are hand-built in the USA.
I know.
You know, Tour Edge has won 35 times out here.
Guys, I know.
Pound for pound, nothing comes close.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
As we welcome you back to the Fairways of Life show on this Monday, hope you guys had a great weekend. So, new year, new start. Hopefully it was happy for everybody. Earl Forsey and Mark Wilson standing by with his recap on all that took place at the Century for PGA Tour Radio.
Matt, thanks. It was a happy new year indeed at the Plantation Course at Kapalua Resort in Maui as the new season is underway at the Century. Our analyst this week was a five-time winner on the PGA Tour, Mark Wilson. Wow, Mark, you get the best players in the game at a course. It's one of the most fun on the PGA Tour each and every year, always low scoring. You've ramped that up this week. What a shootout we had this weekend, and Chris Kirk gets it done at 29 under par.
Always fun to start the year on Maui and at the Century and enjoy the Plantation course. And the scores have been super low the last 3 years. And with low winds on Sunday, we had a huge shootout. But Chris Kirk really put on a show for all of us. I mean, I guess all the players did. Just a scoring record day, lowest in terms of relation to par that we've ever seen on the PGA Tour. That's how low the scoring was.
Four rounds of 63 and, again, a par 73. So those are 10-under rounds. And Justin Rose shot 12-under par 61. And you've got a winner in Chris Kirk who only needed the par 5 at 18. Sahith Theegala put some pressure on Chris Kirk late, certainly in the back nine. But Theegala couldn't make birdie at 18, settled for a par right behind him. Chris Kirk hit what he told us was he thought maybe one of the best shots of his career at 17, hits it close, and that ends up being the winning birdie.
Considering the circumstances, he explained how, you know, it was downwind when we got to the ball. He was going to think he was going to hit 7-iron, and then all of a sudden it's back into the wind, hit 5-iron. I mean, the uncertainty there, and it's so hard to be decisive in that moment. And then he just hit a beauty, executed it properly, and then got the right bounce that they kind of expected. The wind did what he thought, and he had a kick-in birdie. And, you know, hats off to Chris Kirk and what 2024 could be. I mean, he's opened up his game, it seems like, to new heights here, and maybe we'll see him contend in some major championships. It seems like he's got some mental toughness and resolve that maybe he didn't have in the past, and he's a guy that could surprise us at some big tournaments.
He looked great. This is a big one now. This is the first of 8 signature events, so a huge win for Chris Kirk. And the other comments from him after the round, he said he thought it's some of the best golf he has played in his career. A guy who's now won 6 times. He ended a long victory drought a year ago, hadn't won in close to 8 years, gets himself in this tournament, and he wins the season opener in really spectacular fashion, outscoring the best players in the game.
And look out for him this week at the Sony Open in Hawaii, a place where he's had success, totally different venue, a Waialae Country Club, being a place where you've got to hit it a little straighter, but he hits it straight. So we'll have to see how he can back this up and enjoy his time in the Hawaiian Islands even more.
Yeah, another week in the Aloha State, so still more golf to come in Paradise, Matt, as we head over to Oahu for next week in Honolulu in the Sony Open in Hawaii.
Gents, cannot wait for the coverage of the Sony Open coming up later on this week as well. Great job, as always. You can hear PGA Tour Radio on the PGA Tour app or on PGATour.com. Both of those places are for free, and they work around the world, or if you subscribe to the National Satellite Service, Sirius XM. So this week is not a signature event, right? And I'm sure that's not the way that the powers that be will want me to introduce an event coming into a week. So it's not a signature event, but however, that dichotomy, that have and have not, if you will, has been set up by the tour itself. Now, having said that, I don't mean that to sound disparaging if you think it otherwise does, because I'm a golf geek and I'm excited about this week's coverage. I'm excited about watching golf in primetime again coming from Paradise. I think it's really, really cool. I'm excited about some of the storylines that are weaving in. I'm excited about Gary Woodland being back, coming back from the brain surgery he had in the fall. And he's in the field. And what I'm curious about is, I get what they're trying to do with the signature events. I don't like that they're non-cut events. I haven't from the beginning liked that. However, I understand what they're trying to deliver. And what they're trying to say is, hey, big-time sponsors, we need to spend big-time money, right? They're responding to what's going on with LIV, right? We've talked about this a million times. Competition makes you get better. And from the standpoint of, for better or for worse, Major League Sports are, with the best athletes in the world in their respective sports, are very much about money too. Maybe not vested for you and I to think about the money, like Chris Kirk won $3.6 million at the Century. Right? I don't think there's anybody jumping up out of the couch and pumping their fists and going, $3.6 million, yeah! Maybe his agent. Right? But what I'm saying is it's part of everything that they had to do. Okay, good. If it makes the events better. The idea was to get the top players together more often. The idea was to be able to look a sponsor in the eye and go, yeah, you're going to get all or most of them, right? So this week, however, the Sony, we've got, oh, there's the purse breakdown. Dom has up $3.6 million. Sahith, $2.16. Jordan Spieth, talking about, what? How did he phrase it? A little cash in the bank. I'm not sure if he was actually talking about money at $1.36 million that he was paid. Maybe he was talking about FedEx Cup points. But they all represent cash in the bank at this point. I mean, the FedEx Cup points, I mentioned this to you earlier in the show, they're literally going to mirror the finish at the Century. And it, frankly, it's a really nice reward for a really nice performance in the season prior. Because remember, it's an expanded field now. So you get in there. You get, as Jordan says, a little bit in the bank as you head into the season that is 2024, because it's
Can
a fresh
I
start.
Say something,
it's
Matt?
Starting from zero. Do you guys like that? Do you guys like that the PGA Tour season starts now in January versus what we've had for years where you had the fall season as the start of the ensuing? It was a wraparound season. do you like in January? I, for one, never had really problem with the wraparound seasons. I think there were people that were offended by it because it wasn't a January start and everything's supposed to start in January. And I'm thinking to myself, well, the NHL doesn't start in January. The NBA doesn't start in January. College football doesn't start in January. It goes over the top, because we've got the national championship coming up. The NFL starts in the fall and finishes into the new year. I mean, so it didn't really bother me that golf did it that way, but there were many people that were vehemently against it. And they had a lot of years to kind of percolate those emotions. Well, it's a whole new start now. So what I'm getting at with all that is leagues, corporations, media entities, PR companies, they try to craft what they think will be important to fans. They try to put together something. They say, oh, no, this is what they're going to react to. This is going to be it. And I wonder if this week, and maybe because it is a January start in fairness, maybe because it's something fresh and new, that will we react and go, ho-hum, it's a non-signature event? Or my emotions right now are not at that place. My emotions are, I'm excited about this week. I'm looking forward to the action this week. I'm looking forward to a full field. I'm looking forward to a cut. I'm looking forward to the storyline of the so-called next 10. I'm looking forward to the storyline of the swing five. Are you guys? Now, part of this past week, again, it was an interesting storyline. Kevin Kisner was in the booth for NBC. Kevin Kisner, I know, Dom, he put out the tweet that you have on the board. He's smiling behind it, which I think kind of shows, I mean, I think it shows the good nature of Kevin Kisner, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think he's seen more as sort of the everyman, if you will. I think folks would put him more in the, even though I think it might not be the exact right moniker, I think blue collar is something that fits a little bit more than analysts in the past. And so I feel like maybe the audience is a little bit more connected or feels, perception is that they feel more connected to someone like Kevin Kisner, who's, you know, always hanging around with the Barstool guys, ain't no hobby apparel.
Ain't no hobby, that's right.
All this other stuff. That's right. So I do think that the general consensus on social media from what I saw was a pretty positive reaction from folks. I think people
I'd like to hear from our own group.
Question was about Kevin.
All right, hold on one second. I just want to make sure that we pay off that tweet. He says, I think they're going to let me come back tomorrow. So to all who had the over on me making it past day one, go to the window and collect, which, again, just speaks to that. I don't know if it's an everyman nature, but I don't think he'd be offended by that assessment otherwise. But he does connect with people. He's a good guy. Okay, so what is the question?
The question is, what did you think of Kevin Kisner in the booth during live coverage? And then I gave folks three options. I said, you could write in with your thoughts. He's perfect. It's one of my options. They have to keep looking. They just got to keep looking. That was another option. I would rather there are just no announcers. All I need is a natural sound and some leaderboards. I don't want anyone talking anyway. And then you've got people writing in. Right now, early in the running, folks, 43% are saying he's perfect.
Oh,
he's perfect. And then 14% of the people would rather just watch the coverage with no announcers. By the way, that's where I am on this list. I would prefer to watch golf with no one talking. I don't need anyone telling me anything. I'm happy to just watch the golf and just give me the graphics so I know what hole folks are on and where they stand in the leaderboard, et cetera, et cetera. We got a couple folks chiming in. Paul says, is Kisner not playing anymore? I do not believe that is anywhere near
the case.
He's
playing this week.
My understanding is he's still trying to play a full schedule, but didn't he sign on for a handful of events? I think between now and June, he's doing a chunk of events, right?
I haven't actually heard how many he's going to do. I haven't heard anyone officially say that. But I do know he's doing more than one. But I haven't officially heard it. Generally, when networks do this, it's whether it's spoken to or not. They kind of treat it like a special guest, and thanks for being here with us. But it's generally treated like a tryout to see how somebody does. And I'm glad that people like the job that he did. I think he's definitely learning. For me, what I look for in an analyst is I look for the analyst to tell me something that I otherwise wouldn't know. And it can be in union with the person that's on the ground. I think Smiley Coffin was there. I think John Wood were both working on the ground. I'm not sure if there was anybody else I'm missing. The reason why it's hard for me, this goes to what Don was saying. That's why I was kind of laughing and shaking my head as Don was talking about no announcers, is I've told you guys this before. In our family room, I have the two televisions. I have one above the fireplace, and there's one that sits kind of on a credenza. And that the second one is the big one. And that's where Donna tends to watch her shows. Well, we had football on that one. And on the other one, I have the golf. So for me, most of the sports that I watch, there is no sound because there's a competing source of information coming. And it's generally one of Donna's shows. That's how we find the domestic tranquility there. In this case, it happened to be, you know, football games and you know, all the rest that was going on in the world of sport. And there was a lot, and there is a lot going on in the world of sport. So for me, the most important thing are the graphics. And I liked the leaderboard being up as often as it is. Right? And I think sometimes some of the networks lose sight of the fact that your host may be saying, you know, so-and-so leads by one or so-and-so leads by two or blah, blah, blah is three behind or whatever it is. But I think they forget that people aren't always listening to the sound. And again, I mean that with all due respect, which may sound ironic to you because you know that I host live coverage, right? Right. But I get it. I'm a realist. My feeling is that when you're putting together a broadcast, your first priority has to be, how does this look in a bar? Right? Because in a bar, you can't hear it. If you're at some, you know, ale house or whatever, and they've got a zillion different TV screens, and you're watching all the different games, and the golf is on one of them, you can't hear a thing. So that information, visual information, is really important. And I like the leaderboard. It kind of had a Liv look. I would like to see Liv's leaderboard even get a little bit bigger on the side. Not comparing it to the one that we had yesterday, just of its own. Because they use about, if you look at it, you know, a regular size flat screen, I don't know what that measurement is that way, if it's, but it uses about 2/3 of it. I'd like for it to extend even more. Give us more information. And when it's way out on the edge like that, it's generally not covering any of the primary action anyway. So I like the direction that golf is going with all of that. So, but when I'm listening to an analyst, I'd like an analyst to tell me something that I don't know. I can't tell looking at a monitor or when you're home, a television screen. I can't tell what direction the wind is. Generally, unless I can see the flag, I can't tell. I don't need, for me personally, I don't need an on-course person to tell me that the shot is dead on the flag because it's impossible to tell when it's on the. You can tell if it's online, but how many times does a shot come up short or is it sail past the flag long? And the analyst is like, why do you feel compelled to tell me what the future is? Just tell me what the present is. I mean, it goes back to the quotes that we heard this morning from Chris Kirk, which I thought was great, kind of deal with the present. And the present, I love to have, an analyst tell us what we don't know. What's a person thinking right now? If you know or suspect, what do you think they're feeling at the moment? What are the options that are before them? That's a big one to me. Whenever I'm working with an analyst, it's one of the things I love to have an analyst tell me. What are the options? Hit a low little running draw, smash this thing up there in the air and let it float, whatever it is. And I realize it's circumstance-based, but what are the options? Also, and it's closely aligned to that, is given, again, circumstance, but in particular here, given lie, how will that impact the decisions that need to be made? You know, is it on a downhill lie, so it's going to de-loft the club, as an example? You know, is there a tremendous amount of humidity in the air? Is it cool? is the course playing longer than it will later in the day when the temperatures go? All that kind of stuff that we wouldn't know. That's the kind of stuff that I think is really cool. And then if this was the thing that I thought kids did a pretty good job of, because I did get a chance to watch quite a bit of it, because I wanted to hear how he was doing. He kind of let us in. And what I mean by that is like what the players would think about something. Like, did you see the video, Dom, did you see the video of Chris Kirk in batting practice? Did you see the video of Chris Kirk?
That, yes.
Did you see the video of Chris Kirk hitting a golf ball lefty? Did you see that one?
I did, yeah. I watched a lot of the coverage this weekend.
And then did you hear Kiz say, with particular the latter one, with him hitting a lefty shot? Oh, that's a driving range that he put in on his property. That's the kind of stuff we generally are never told, because it kind of gets close to, dude's got enough property that he could build his own range on it, right? And they're worried about offending delicate sensibilities that are like, oh, showing his trappings of luxury. They're professional athletes. He just won $3.6 million. He could cut the grass and hit golf balls. So I just, that kind of stuff I thought was really cool. What are you hearing from the people, though? What are they saying?
Well, let's check in on the numbers are going up. 44% say he's perfect. They really like Kevin Kisner. We've done a lot of polls over the years on this show, and it's pretty rare. It's usually kind of split on these polls, especially when there's four options. 44% for one option is quite high.
Give me the percentage on the other options.
12% say they'd rather have no announcers at all. 19% say they have to keep looking. And then the rest of people are sort of writing in on their thoughts. We've got people commenting. One NBT3, there's so much comments coming in. I got to try and find it. But I remember NBT3 wrote in, I think he was the first to comment on Kisner. On Kisner, I'm not sure if I watch enough with the volume up to even really know how good he is. So that's someone there again speaking to the point of, I'm just watching on mute. And I said earlier that on social media, I got the sense that Kisner did well and people liked him. And the reason I said it that way is because I watched it on mute. I was watching the NFL and all the playoff implications on my big TV. And me and my little boy, I had on my phone in my lap, I had the golf. So I could constantly look down and see what was going on in the golf. But I didn't have the volume on. I was watching volume on football. So I heard nothing. So you said, oh, you see the Chris Kirk video? Yeah, I saw the video, but I didn't hear what anyone said about anything. I was just watching the golf.
He was laughing about it.
I saw everything. I just didn't hear anything.
Yeah, he was like, it was a typical kind of locker room thing. It made me laugh because he was laughing. It wasn't like, oh, he just got drilled. I hope he's okay. He was openly laughing. He got drilled. And here's the thing. Where you said you have 19% that say keep looking, Kevin was up there with Hicks, Kisner, and Byron, I believe. And my feeling on it is, okay, maybe it's a question of how you define this thing. For example, you know, NBC has the rights to the Open, NBC has the rights to the U.S. Open, obviously Ryder Cup, blah, blah, blah. So what I'm getting at is they have events that are very, very high stature events. I could understand if somebody said, no, you know what? If it's a major, then Kiz is what? Won four times, I believe. If it's a major, it should be someone that's at least knocking on the door consistently or has during some part of their career at major championships or won a major championship, blah, blah, blah. You know, I could see someone saying that, but does that mean that there's not a role for someone like Kiz? And to that point, my mind almost goes back to almost the halcyon days of CBS when they were broadcasting the PGA Tour, where you had the likes of, you know, take, for example, like a Ben Wright, where he was given the latitude to wax. Whereas now I think that television golf coverage is fairly it fits a formula, right? If there's comments made that are anything beyond, you know, downs and yards, it comes from the main booth. Where I think when you're talking about someone in the field, we've somewhat lost the eloquence, you know, the lineage of Henry Longhurst or a Ben Wright that I'd like to see a little bit more of in the field to give us context, to give us perspective, to read the clouds. Not just always for maybe that would change it up too. But even having said that, I could see for, again, what I just illustrated, Kevin was part of a 3-person main booth. Why does it have to be host analyst? Why not do 3 and do 3 wide? So if you need that third person that has the ability to tell us what it's like when you're putting for a 4-footer to win a major championship, we can get that perspective too. But we still have the younger guy and the guy that can laugh and tell us the stories. I think it was a very healthy move. What do you got, Dom?
I'll read a few more comments coming in, but then I have a thought. It's going to be an unpopular thought, okay?
You've never had one of those, Dom.
For this. No. Going head-to-head with the NFL Week 18 is not easy, Chase says. That will be reflected in the ratings, no doubt, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Sean says, Kiz is way too young and way too good to be in the booth already. Wayne says, I thought he sounded pretty good. Neil says, the best I've ever heard on a broadcast was Phil Mickelson. Bob says, I think Kisner's doing just the first couple of events because he's in the field this week, obviously.
Yeah.
And there's more stuff coming in, and we'll get to all of it. The comment I have about the booth stuff.
Here we go.
And it's almost a question to the audience and a question to you, Matt, is I don't understand why golf can't get the best of the best in the booth. And I don't mean that as a shot at Kisner. What I mean is, if you watch baseball, you've got John Smoltz, you've got Alex Rodriguez, you've got Pedro Martinez, you have absolute Hall of Fame all-time stuff. You watch the NBA, Charles Barkley, Shaquille O'Neal, like absolutely like top 10 players in the history of the sport, Hall of Fame, big as it gets. The hockey, the NHL, you know who they added to the coverage this year? Wayne Gretzky. He's up there in the halftime thing talking nonstop. The absolute best of the best. It always, since I've been watching golf for the last 15 years, I don't think I've ever seen someone in the booth that everybody would generally say is, oh, they're top 10 golfer in the history of the world, guaranteed. It's always guys that have won a couple majors, or sometimes it's guys who have just won a chunk of events and have a good personality or have been out there a long time and they know a lot of the guys, whatever it might be. My question is to you and to the audience is why there's, I guess it's a 2-part question. The first is, shouldn't it be one of the top 10 guys? And then the second one is, how come it's not? Because everyone else is doing that. Is that a fair question, Matt?
No, it's a good observation. It's a good question, but that just illustrates what makes golf different. All of those leagues that you just talked about, unless the guys play on a Wednesday night in an old-timers league, there is no senior league. Golf has a champions tour. So these guys go off and play on the champions tour
years. Hold on a second. They're gonna make way more money on television than they would on the champions tour.
Well, why do you think they play the champions tour? Just for money, or is it that thirst of competition? I mean, other than notably like Nick Faldo, who didn't play on the champions tour, he tried a few times, didn't play well. But then the next question I'd have for you is, okay, who's the target? You got Tiger, you got Phil, guys who are,
well, you just
I
heard
presume,
someone comment that Phil's the best. It's just
he
that
was very
you,
good.
You were talking earlier about perspective, right? You were talking about what I want. You were saying, well, this is what I want in an analyst. Well, someone who's a top 10 player all time has it all. They've played team events.
Who
They've
is
won
it?
A bunch of majors. They don't, you know what I'm saying?
But who is it?
Oh, I don't
they
know.
Tried,
look.
They tried.
Can,
he's Hall of Fame. They tried
ideas.
Davis Love III. Davis didn't like it. It wasn't for him. Right. If you go with someone like a multiple time major champion, a Hall of Famer, record career, a Hale Irwin, Irwin's in his 70s now because he had such a great career on the Champs Tour. Who do you grab? Tiger?
I think I can I throw some names? Can I just throw names?
Yeah.
All right, I think everyone's saying Phil Mickelson. Obviously, Liv's going on. This is a big train wreck, whatever. But reality is Phil would be great. He would be great. We've all seen Tiger, especially during the Genesis. He hops in there. He does it 30 minutes. He kills it. Tiger would be great. I think Lee Trevino would be great. I think Tom Watson would be great. I think...
Yeah, now, whoa. Now, wait a minute. The whole move here is to try to get voices in the booth that are more current. You got Lee Trevino in his 80s. You got Tom Watson in his 70s. No. And we had great careers and a chance.
Where's that coming from? What do you mean the move is to get current? What are you talking about?
What do you think they brought
all
in Kevin
baseball,
Kistner
football,
for?
All those guys I named, those are all like way beyond their prime. They're not getting current guys. They're getting guys who know what's going on, who know the situations, who have been there and everyone respects.
So you want to bring in Lee Trevino in his middle 80s and Tom Watson in his 70s?
No, I'm just, you asked me to throw names at him. I'm looking down
the
window.
Well, give me real names. Don't just throw the spaghetti against the wall.
What do you mean? Those are real names. I think Tom Watson would be great.
I just asked you, do you want Tom Watson and Lee Trevino? You're like, oh, I'm just throwing names. I'm just spitballing.
Well, I do think, all right, let me boil this down in really simple terms here. I would rather have someone like Tom Watson, who has 8 majors and 39 PGA Tour wins, and God knows how many U.S. teams he's been on and captain and et cetera. I would rather him have me giving me insight and telling me what's going on than almost anybody else. He literally knows what he's talking about across the board. Whereas you have other guys out there, and I'm not going to drop names, but you've got guys.
You're literally dropping names.
Sometimes. What? What?
You are literally dropping names. That's all you've been doing this
whole
segment.
I'm dropping names for the analysts. I'm talking about guys who have been in the booth in the last 10 years. Sometimes you've got guys that have single-digit wins or haven't been on any American teams or haven't won any major championships telling me what it feels like to be down the stretch at whatever major. They don't know. They don't know. That's why you have Wayne Gretzky.
You're not listening to him anyway.
That's why you've got Shaq on the table.
You want to hear the birds
telling
me
this is how you lead. You've got Shaq on the panel going, this is how you lead the league in scoring. This is how you build the championship team. He can answer those questions. He knows. Same thing
with LeBron.
You pick the big.
Do television, you think?
Would he or does he?
Would he? End of his playing career.
Yes, I think he would. Yes, I think he would. A lot of these guys,
like
first of all, they make stupid money. They can make as much money as when they were playing. And it's an easy gig.
Seriously?
It's a really easy gig.
As much money?
What? Oh, they make tons of money. You know how much money Charles Barkley's making right now? I can look it up, but it's a bajillion dollars.
Well, I have heard.
Right?
Yeah. I think Sir Charles is making a lot of money.
He's making so much money.
I mean, he's so honest about everything. When Liv was courting him, I think he basically said they got to do more than $20 million, or else I'm not interested. I read that somewhere. Maybe I'm wrong.
Let me give a couple names. I think Lanny Watkins would be great. I think Davis Love would be great. I think Ben Crenshaw would be great. Ernie Els would be fantastic. Tom Kite would be fantastic. Nick Price would be fantastic. I mean, it's a nice laundry list of names I've been throwing out at you. Now, are those guys current? And
no.
Are they best friends with the guys on tour? Do they know what's going on? No, but that's not. You're not in the booth to be best friends with the guy you're watching on TV. You're in the booth because
I guess
five majors.
The disconnect I'm having my head shaking
team.
Is that Ernie Els is the youngest guy that you just went through in that entire list. He's the youngest. The average age of all the other guys is 70 plus. Right? I don't see them doing it. I just don't see that happening. I'm not opposed to the idea.
The only thing I'll concede, which is interesting, it's a wrinkle that I did not consider, is when you said the Champions Tour. Because you are correct, and all these other sports, all these names I'm throwing out at you, none of them have the option to compete competitively to do anything. Because once their career is over, it's over. And in golf, you don't have that. It's a different situation. So that's a fair point. But I still think I would rather hear from Tom Kite or Ben Crenshaw than a guy in his 40s who just finished on the tour, who's got a third the number of wins and no majors.
unless the guy's got some credibility. What are you hearing from the people? What are they saying?
I don't know. Give me a second. Juggling 16 balls at once. Look at me go. Hold on. All right, hold on. A Tiger would be boring. LOL. Kiz was fine, but he's just a sidekick. I prefer multi-major winners. He's a good putter, but never a great player. He was fine, but there are many better other choices. John Daly would be awesome, but you'd have to worry about him showing up, you know. Not true, Dom. The minute Tiger goes to the Champions Tour in 2 years, he will receive higher ratings and purses to the PGA Tour. You watch. You'll see. The job is not easy. Lots of prep work. Hours getting there very early and being there all day. It's tough work, NBT3 says. I think it depends on who it is. I would argue that someone like Charles Barkley is really not doing a lot of legwork. If you watch basketball like I do, he gets players' names wrong all the time, which is kind of funny. It's kind of funny, but it's also like, is he even watching the games? But again, he's there, right? He's there to tell me what it takes to be an MVP in the NBA. He's not there to tell me that I'm best friends with Devin Booker. That's not what he's there for. Kisner is perfect for the job, Cam says. Let's see here. There's so much stuff coming. Trevino is awesome, but he tells too many way long-winded, slightly fabricated stories. That's a great comment. LC says, I hate when Dom and Matt fight. We're not fighting. Are we fighting? I don't think we're fighting. I feel like we're not fighting. John Daly would be good. I didn't say John Daly, by the way. I want Shaq. He's hilariously fun. Just get Boo Weekly to go with Kiz. Current, hilarious, and knowledgeable. Again, it's like a, do you want people in the booth that are going to make you laugh, that connect with you, that feel fun, but really don't know what it's like to be playing in a major or down the stretch in a major or what it takes to win 10 events? Or do you want the guy who's won 7 majors and he knows how all of it works and he knows what it takes and he can answer all those questions?
I guess, my answer thing to you is yes to both. I think there's a role for the Kevin
both.
Kisners. I think it was good. Like Andrew Beef Johnston is doing Sky Sports. They love the job he's doing. Absolutely love it.
There's a lot of Bubba Watson here. Bubba would be good. Bubba for sure. Bubba's perfect. Bubba would be great. There's a lot of Bubba here. Interesting.
Yeah.
Phil Mickelson. Padraig Harrington. Padraig Harrington's a good one. He'd be good.
Hey.
Steve
Champ
Stricker.
Stewart, he's killing it.
Yeah. That's right. There's a lot coming in. I mean, I think it's a fascinating discussion. I personally, for me, I would rather have like a Tom Watson type in the booth. Is he connected to the guys on tour right now? Not really, but I don't need someone who's connected to the guys right now. I need someone who can diagnose the swing problem. Also, personally, I like someone that is critical, right? And someone who's connected to the players is very unlikely to say something negative. That's something that like Barkley and Shaq do a lot, is they're very critical. They'll say, this player is doing X wrong. They need to fix it. Or the reason this team is failing is because of these three reasons, because of this player and this scheme or whatever it might be. You rarely see that on golf. You're not going to see someone who's connected going, this guy's having, you know, a lot of issues on the course because this is what's wrong with his swing. He's not listening to his coaches. He's not grinding, you know, off the course to do what he needs to do. They rarely say those things because they're connected to these guys. They're friends or they know a guy. They're not going to say that stuff. And I think that that's a layer to a broadcast that is necessary to provide that depth for the person watching. If you're not going to say that was a crappy swing, that guy's playing like crap because of X, Y, and Z, and they don't really ever say that. But I feel like, what does Tom Watson have to lose? He could say that. If he sees someone's failing because of X, Y, and Z, he might say, you know, guy's a mess. Look at his putting stroke. That's why. You're not really going to see that on coverage right now.
I mean, here's a question I have, and I'm looking at the clock. We're not going to have time to get to it today, I think.
It's never enough time.
But because we're going down these roads today of talking about all these other sports. Right now, like tonight, we have the national championship game for college football. The NHL is right. I'm a hockey fan, and the NHL is hot right now. Bruins, Rangers, Jets, Canucks, all battling. Big game tonight. See who I'm just talking about total points for the league right now. Liverpool is the top on the EPL. We know that we're looking at NFL playoffs in the picture that is now clear. And we've seen some great games coming in. Like I said, college football was exciting, regardless of where you stand on the tweaks to the college football playoffs. Dom's talking about the NBA. NCAA hoops are underway in earnest. Again, for me, with college hockey is underway. All these different things that are going on with sports. And I know when I ask this question, Dom's going to like have his, he's going to be like the kid at school with his hand up going, ooh, 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 pick me. But is right now, is this time of year right now the greatest time of year for the world of sports at large? Or would you go say to, I mean, I'm not the one to pick it, but I'll just give you an example. March, because of the NCAA hoops tournaments, right? Or would you move it more towards April because you've got the Masters, you've got baseball starting, the eternal, you know, the rite of spring, the boys of summer, blah, blah, blah. Would you go more towards June where you're looking at leagues and championships getting award, whether we're talking about hockey or basketball or whatever it is, right? Or is it? Are you more of the type that says, no, it's the start of all these seasons, like in the fall when all the football starts and all that excitement and enthusiasm? I'm just curious. Are we right now in the middle of the high point of sports for the year, or would it be something else? Don't answer me today. I'll try to remember that question tomorrow. It's a road we can have some fun going down. Thank you for your company today, folks. It was great, as always. It's always fun to recount what took place in the world of golf. As I already told you, I'm excited about what's going on with the Sony Open coming up this week. We're going to talk more about storylines. We're going to talk about people in the field. We will continue, as we have been, to talk about your ideas about all of these things and more. Have a great Monday. Until we're together again, bye for now.
I guess hello world, huh?
And with one subtle hello, Tiger began an amazing and unthinkable career.
I've done it for 20 years now with Bridgestone. It allows me to play an aggressive style around the greens, and it's allowed me to win a lot of tournaments.
Bridgestone Golf, proud to be part of your journey.
Boyne Golf provides the ultimate world-class golf destination with 10 championship-caliber courses spanning three resorts. Centered in Michigan's northern Lower Peninsula, the courses are the products of some of the game's masters, including Robert Trent Jones Sr., Arthur Hills, and Donald Ross. From the all-inclusive vacation packages, elite instruction with the Boyne Golf Academy, tournaments, and so much more, Boyne Golf truly offers an unrivaled Michigan golf vacation experience. Just log on to boynegolf.com.
I think when you're training for other sports, or why most people go to the gym is so that they can like have muscles and, you know, be strong and be healthy. And a lot of the reason why they struggle to play golf is their body doesn't move properly for them to be able to hit a golf ball. And when you're training for golf, it's a little bit different because you're focused more on flexibility and mobility and being strong in motion. When you're able to kind of have a warm up and have a workout routine and kind of gradually build up to where you're training your body to move properly, yeah, you're going to get a lot of big dividends on the golf course.
Relax. Easy now. Find your happy place. The PGA Tour Superstore. It's all in the hips. Where every swing is possible. Just tap it in.
Yes!
Find all the latest gear, apparel, and personalized club fittings.
Is this goodbye?
We've only just begun.
Shop with the pros at Golf's Happy Place, the PGA Tour Superstore.
What if we started a company and the company was under no time constraints, no financial constraints? The one constraint is their clubs had to be exceptional performers and much better than any other alternative. I was told time and again, it'll never work. It worked like a house of fire. And I'll tell you what, I think our customers love it. BXG, nobody makes golf clubs the way we do, period.
Zero Friction introduces the Wheel Pro Push Cart Golf Bag with its revolutionary 3-in-1 design, supportive legs that spring into action, a comfort grip handle with 3 locking positions, accessories for the modern golfer enhanced by 7 pockets for more storage, and removable all-terrain wheels which slide right into place. The new Zero Friction Wheel Pro Golf Bag checks every box for every golfer. Push, carry, or cart, the decision is yours thanks to Zero Friction. Head to ZeroFriction.com today.